a vision that we need a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church in this community, and we need to do whatever it takes to get this ministry off the ground. And whatever the practical implications are, and whatever the tasks are, and the labor involved, they put their shoulder to the wheel, and they do it with a zeal out of love for the Savior. But then as time goes on, and you get to the inner workings and the inner life of the church, the vision can be lost. And people just look upon church as a nice little tradition, and they lose the cause. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're looking at the church at Revelation, the church of Ephesus. The Lord had a special letter for them because they were faithful, and God was encouraged and sought to encourage them in spite of their failings. So let's read the message, and then we'll get to it. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Stay tuned as we go to this message to the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2. I have told a story from this pulpit. I'm not sure if you've heard me or remember me telling it. When I was newly converted, I was on a Sunday morning milking cows. It was a one-man job, six cows at a time. And by the way, they are now installing a system of milking 20 at a time. But then it was just six. But I had a radio on, and on a Sunday morning, it was secular station, but on a Sunday morning, they would play church music, hymns, maybe a church service. And that's been a long tradition. And so on that Sunday morning, I was there on my own and had the radio on, listening to this church music, and it was the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. And I have to say, that's one of my first memories of hearing that wonderful hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. I still remember the impact it had on me. My ears picked up, and I drank it in, The Old Rugged Cross. And if we are to enjoy our first love, we must never lose being in love with the cross. And I think it is where many Christians go wrong. They stop falling in love with the cross work of the Lord Jesus. I need to move on. Go back to your justification by faith alone. I honestly can't remember when I fully grasped this doctrine, but I know that I heard it from the get-go in my hearing of the gospel as a young fellow. I know that that doctrine was preached to me, and I began to learn it in the catechism, and I could learn it word for word. But it is the doctrine that delivers us from lack of assurance, the tempter's lie that you're not worthy, who are you, and all those things that many Christians battle with almost daily, defeat and lack of assurance. The doctrine of justification by faith alone means that in heaven's court there has been an announcement made. Ian Gallagher is justified freely from all things. The law can never touch him again because his sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus. So we are justified, just as if we had never sinned in the sight of God. And I'm not sure when you learned that doctrine firstly, but that is vital to our growing and grasping the joy of our salvation. And tonight you need to go back to this good old, solid gospel doctrine of justification by faith alone. Otherwise, you'll always be haunted with the temptation, you're not good enough. Your sins are still at your account. How are you going to stand before God with any peace and assurance? When you understand the doctrine of justification by faith alone, then you know that you are free. It is the liberating doctrine. It's liberating because it leads us to the finished work of the cross. That's where liberty is found. It is, as Martin Luther found it, in the cloister, the monastic cell, the only answer to the burden and the bondage of sin. And you've got to go back. You might say, but I did that years ago. Go back. Go back to the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Get on your knees and praise God that you are justified. And it will work in your heart a liberty in prayer. I guarantee it. When you thank God for your justification by faith, the Spirit of God will work liberty in your heart. And prayer will take off. Because you're not praying on the basis to be good enough. You're praying on the basis that what Christ did was good enough. You're accepting his work and you are accepted on that basis. And you are therefore brought into wonderful liberty. And it delivers us from works. Justified by faith, not by works. It is the liberating doctrine. Number four. And I'm thinking of all these things of going back to do the first works. Go back to your first times of communion with the Lord. Can you remember the day after you were converted? You probably remember the day and hour of your conversion, but can you remember the day after or the week after? Can you remember the first time that on your own you opened up the Bible and you put words of prayer before God? What a thrill it was. What a joy in the soul. Can you remember the first sermon you heard after conversion? I had a man told me recently that he went to church along with his mom to a gospel preaching church. Didn't understand a word. Didn't hear a word. Then someone gave him a Bible and he got saved. And the next time he went back to church, he understood. Clear as day. You wonder why we didn't understand it all before. Back to the preaching of God's word. And each of these things God uses to minister to our hearts. But going back to the preaching of the word, also number five now, going back to seeking the cause of Christ. What is spoken to the individual applies to the whole church. You've lost your first love. As in the days when the church was first formed, Why was this church formed? I think we get an understanding if you go back to Revelation 1 verse 9. You will see here that it was for the testimony of Christ. This is John now. He was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the end of verse 9. He had a purpose. He was not just living for himself. He was not just a 7-Eleven convenience Christian. Here was a man with a cause for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was also for the saints to minister to them. Look at the beginning part of verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He called himself a brother and a companion of whom? Christians in these churches like Ephesus. Why did they start that church at Ephesus? Because they were willing to stand up and be counted for Jesus. They were willing to be a testimony for the word of God and for Jesus Christ. They wanted the gospel to shine in the city of Ephesus and make an impact upon the idolatry of that city. That was their purpose. That was their cause. All of these works the Lord recognized in the church at Ephesus, and he commended them for it. It was a place with a good reputation. They could compete with the big churches as far as being faithful. But they lost their first love. They lost the purpose. They lost the zeal. And this happens to churches. When a church gets off the ground in its planting stages, there's usually somebody or some band of people that have a vision. A vision that we need a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church in this community, and we need to do whatever it takes to get this ministry off the ground. And whatever the practical implications are, and whatever the tasks are, and the labor involved, they put their shoulder to the wheel, and they do it with a zeal out of love for the Savior. But then as time goes on, and you get to the inner workings and the inner life of the church, the vision can be lost. And people just look upon church as a nice little tradition, and they lose the cause. Faithfulness, as we've learned here, is not determined by rules and regulations, but rather by the spirit of prayer, the love of the Savior burning in hearts. And that comes as you labor for the Lord. If you're saying tonight, I'm never going to get involved in gospel work, I'm not willing to give the time, the effort, and the energy to it, and you come and sit across the table with me and say, Pastor, I've lost my first love. What should I do? One of the pieces of advice has to be, get plugged in. Get involved in a ministry for the Lord Jesus. Do the first works. It's not rocket science. It's not anything new. But there must be a cause and a purpose to your Christian service. And that involvement stokes the fire of your soul. That discipline required, that energy required in serving the Lord in itself keeps the fire burning and deepens and broadens your love for the Savior. Now, come to the final one tonight. Go back to your first acts of service for Christ. What's the very first thing you did when you became a Christian? The very, very first thing you did when you became a Christian, you told your family. You told somebody. And you let others know that you have decided to follow the Lord and be a Christian. Now, I'm sure our situations would differ in how we went about it. And maybe some of our family hear the news secondhand and they come to us and they ask us right point blank and we weren't ready for it. And they say, did you get saved? And what do we say? And if we make a good, strong, faithful witness and say, yes, I trusted the Lord and I've asked him to be my Savior and I'm depending on him to keep me and so on. Well, that's the first work. When's the last time you told somebody that you're a Christian? Our lack of witnessing, our lack of the things we did the first day or the first week of our new birth in Christ, those are the things we must keep doing. Attending church, attending prayer meetings. And that's service, by the way. They are not meritorious works, but they are serving the Lord, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, coming to the house of God, being in prayer, joining in the prayer ministry of the church, calling it in the prayer meeting. I remember the first prayer meetings I attended. They were very well attended. I remember a little room about the size of our prayer room downstairs, stuffed full of people. There wasn't room for the preacher to have a pulpit. He just stood with the Bible in his hand and spoke at the door. He was really the last one that came in, and he stood right at the door. There wasn't room to move. And as he would speak a while and close his Bible and people would pray, my, that was my first prayer meetings. And I remember the first time I wanted to open my mouth and pray. Well, I didn't do very well. It was kind of pathetic. It was a stammering, struggling prayer. But in my heart, I wanted to pray. I was moved to pray and a call on the Lord. Do the first works. You don't do that. You can't expect that love to burn. For me, it was open-air meetings that made a big impression. In the church in Oma, where I was converted, they had a tradition of, not every week, but every month anyhow, they would get the equipment out, and with a microphone and an amplifier, they would set up at a street corner or in a housing subdivision, and someone would lead the singing, and then there would be short prayer and maybe a testimony, and then someone would preach the gospel. And that sound just filled the town. You could hear it at the other end of the town. Sometimes at my farm, I could hear this from one of the subdivisions in the town. Now, when I was newly converted and I was invited to go to one of these open-air gospel meetings, it was a time when I would need to take the hymnal, stand with Christians, and support them, identifying myself with them for the public to see in a small town where the news would travel very quickly. But you know, that was the best thing that could have happened to me, because I was on the side of God's people immediately. And we can lose our first love by failing to identify with God's people, falling back into neutral land sort of thing, and escaping some of the reproach of the world. If you're going to have your first love, stand up for Jesus, and he'll bless you for it, and he will use you in his service. Now I'm coming to the first preaching. In Northern Ireland, a land where there has been a history of revival, there is also a history of gospel campaigns in various communities where a preacher will come and preach for a month. And he'll have Sunday afternoon meetings, and he'll preach Monday to Friday every evening. And of course, Christians work to get their friends and family and neighbors, invitations out to get people to come to these gospel meetings. About 10 miles from where I lived, there was a little town called Six Mile Cross, where Dr. Frank McClelland was doing one of these gospel campaigns. And I went to quite a number of those meetings, quite a number. And as Mr. McClelland, as you may know, is a very good storyteller, and every evening he had a story for the children who were coming. And I learned a lot of things. I still remember that my shoe has a soul. A shoe has a tongue, it has eyes, and it has a soul. That was one of the object lessons that he had during that time. And of course, when he got to the soul, he talked about, you have a soul. A soul that needs to be saved, a soul that will live for all eternity, and so on. And I can remember the gospel being preached. Now, he opened his Bible and he went on to preach to the adults, and it was a full hour and a half meeting. And I sat under those meetings as a newborn Christian, and I just drank it in. It was the milk of the word to my soul. And that's the kind of preaching that got me on my feet. I went to another week of meetings where there were five different preachers preaching on the subject of TULIP. First time I ever heard the doctrine of TULIP. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. And for some reason, I took a great liking to the perseverance of the saints, that I was being kept by the power of God, and I was not being saved today and lost tomorrow, but that I had eternal security in Christ. What a great thing to learn as a new Christian. What a great thing to learn as a new Christian. I also went along to meetings where Dr. Paisley would preach and where people would literally have lumps in their throats out of deep conviction. Those were powerful meetings. And there were people converted and souls saved. And those were times when the preaching of the word changed my life. We have to go back to do the first works if we want to be have the first love restored again. I remember a number of years ago when I was here and I was going through a kind of a dry patch in my heart. And I was also, it was summertime, and I was painting the trim on our house. And so while I was doing that, I got some sermons out and listened to them. And it was the sermons of Al Martin on characters in Genesis. And the Lord did something to me while I listened to those sermons. I got a boldness, and I got a new strength, because this is one of my problems. Where do I get food? Where do I get preachers to preach to me? And that's just what I needed. That was the tonic I needed at that time, just the preaching of the word. And the Lord says to us, do the first works. And this is what troubles me. We have Christians just don't want to hear the preaching. And then they come and say, Pastor, I've lost my first love. What has gone wrong? We've got to do these first works. Witness, pray, give out tracts, tell others about Jesus. You can't learn to swim on dry land. You got to get into the water. And if you're going to exercise your spiritual gifts, you've got to get out and do it. This is a call to action. Do the first works. Now, they're not meritorious that are going to be the means of salvation, but they are the things a Christian can do that you might be brought back to your first love. In the very last verse of Mark's gospel, and I'm going to end with this, or I'll go on too long here. I want to end with this tonight. The very last verse in Mark's gospel, you will see this principle. You can't learn to swim on dry land. The apostles were sent out to go preaching. And we're told here in Mark 16, verse 20, the very last verse in Mark's gospel, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now, they had said, no, we'll fail. We can't do this. We're too weak. We need to learn more. We need to go to some study classes. We need to prepare ourselves. They just went. And the Lord went working with them. And that's the remedy to have our first love restored. Because the Lord gives help. And he gives his spirit in our weakness. But we don't get it until we serve. And I'm sure there are many dusty, dry Christians that just have never even stepped out to serve. Let us not be like that. But pray that the Lord goes with us and gives us the Holy Spirit. And I close now with this one. When did you last pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you remember in Corinth when the Christians there were asked, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "We know not whether there be any Holy Ghost." There's a lot of people like that today. They're not living in the Spirit. They're not getting on their knees praying, "Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity, fall on me. Father, send your Spirit. Lord Jesus, you promised to send your Spirit. Fall on me. Fill me with the Spirit." And surely that's the way to be restored, to have our first love restored. These are the things we must do. And I pray that we will be blessed and helped, and we will have something of this love of Jesus living, dwelling, empowering us. It's like walking on air. It's like living a new life with Christ in the vessel. We laugh at the storm. We're going to sing in closing. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that today the Lord has worked His will in your heart and given you a zeal for the cause of the Lord Jesus. It is so easy to slip into neutral and do little for the Lord. We need to stir up our hearts and stir up our souls to serve God with all our being. And so I pray that you will rededicate yourself, give yourself afresh to the service of Christ. If you're not a Christian and you need the Lord, then feel free to give me a call. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to help you personally and just help you from the Bible, how you can be sure that you're saved, how you can be sure that you have the gift of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus. You don't need me, but if I can help, I'll be glad to speak with you. May the Lord bless you today. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.